reading Psalm 41, verse 3. The Lord will sustain him on his sickbed and restore him from his bed of illness. Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's April 14th, 2015, and we're going to jump right into the second part of a message delivered by Nikki Gumbel, the founder of the Alpha Course. It's about a 42-minute message that I've broken into two parts, with the first installment yesterday, and we'll back up about a minute to lay the groundwork on Nikki's topic, Does God Heal Today? Nikki's sharing out of the book of Matthew, and I must say thank you for listening to this broadcast, which is a segment from an Alpha Talk and is not Alpha in its entirety. Alpha is a series of interactive sessions exploring the Christian faith, typically including food, a short talk and discussion in small groups where you can share your thoughts. Find an Alpha near you at alphausa.org. This broadcast heard on Great News Radio is produced by Alpha International, copyright Alpha International 2015, Alpha Talks 2002 to 2006. Here's Nikki Gumbel sharing out of Matthew, focusing on the topic, Does God Heal Today?
Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom. Kingdom was absolutely the central theme in the teaching of Jesus. Preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. So Matthew tells us that is what Jesus did. Then he sets out how he did that. So chapters 5, 6 and 7 is the Sermon on the Mount, how Jesus taught. Then he tells us how Jesus healed. Chapters 8 and 9 are 9 healing miracles. And then chapter 9, verse 35 is almost identical to Matthew 4, 23. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. That is a grammatical device known as an inclusio. That's to say, Matthew uses the same verse at the beginning as at the end. They didn't have punctuation in those days, so it was a way of saying, I have finished that section. So he says, this is what Jesus did in his ministry. He told people the good news, and he healed the sick. Then, having finished that section, Matthew says, now this is what Jesus told his disciples to do. Matthew 10, verse 1. He called the 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. And verse 7, he says, as you go, preach the message, the kingdom of heaven is near, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. So Jesus did it. He commanded his disciples to do it. Not just the 12 disciples. But if you'd like to turn over a few more pages to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 verse 1. He gave them power and authority to drive out demons and to cure diseases. He sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Luke chapter 10 verse 1. Wasn't just the 12. After that, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place he was about to go. And verse 9, this was his command to them, heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. So that is what Jesus did. That is what he commanded his disciples to do. And then at the end of the Gospels, for example, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. So we've seen what Jesus did. We've seen what Jesus commanded his disciples to do. Then at the end of the Gospel, he commissions them, and he commissions them with these words. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. That includes everybody here tonight. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them, that's you, if you become a disciple of Jesus, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now, what did he command them to do? Tell people the good news and heal the sick. And as you look on in the New Testament, that's what they did. After the Gospels, you get the book of Acts. I'm so stupid, it hadn't clicked. The book of Acts is called Acts. They didn't just talk about it, they did it. They preached the gospel and they healed the sick. So healing is one of the signs of the kingdom inaugurated by Jesus, which continues to this day. So we should expect God to heal miraculously today as part of his kingdom activity. Then as we look at church history, so that's healing in the Bible. Then as we look at church history, we see that healing was a normal part of the activity of the early church. So, for example, we need in Irenaeus, who was writing in the second century, says, others still heal the sick by laying their hands on them and they're made whole. Origen was born around 185 AD. Says, the name of Jesus can take away diseases. St. Augustine of Hippo, perhaps the greatest theologian of the first five centuries, he wrote a book called The City of God. And in that book, he talks about, it says, even now miracles are wrought in the name of Christ. And he just lists example after example after example of blind people being healed, all kinds of miracles. And many of them are in great detail. Christians in every age have continued to obey Jesus' command to heal the sick. As time went on, it was mainly by setting up hospitals and other institutions to relieve suffering. But this has been one of the great achievements of the church. But God is still healing people miraculously today. Raniero Cantalamessa, who was the preacher to Pope John Paul II for about 24 years, writes this. Today, we have two ways to face up to the problem of ill health. The way of human nature and the way of grace. By human nature, in this sense, encompasses science and technology and all our resources. In short, all that we've received from God in creation and all that we have developed from that by using our intelligence. But then there's this second way, grace, which indicates faith and the prayers by which, as God may will, we sometimes obtain healings in a way that goes beyond the scope of human resources. Against disease and ill health, he writes, a Christian cannot be satisfied to use only the facilities of nature to set up hospitals or work alongside with the structures of the state to provide care and comfort. Christians have a very special power of their own, given to them by Christ. He gave them authority to cure every disease and every sickness. It would be an omission to fail to have recourse to this power and so fail to hold out hope, especially to those to whom science denies all hope. I remember meeting here a woman called Jean Smith, who was in her 60s. She's from Cwmbran in Wales. And she arrived here one Alpha evening as a visitor, and she introduced herself to me, and she told me what had happened. She said 16 and a half years ago, she said, I went blind. She had an infection which had eaten away the retinas and mirrors behind the eyes, and apparently they cannot be replaced. So she had a white stick and she had a guide dog. I think the guide dog's name was Tina, and she was in a lot of pain actually. And in her local church in Wales, she went on an Alpha course. She went on a weekend. And during the weekend, she experienced the power of the Holy Spirit in a way she'd not experienced before. And the amazing thing was that the pain that she had been in for all those years just went. And she was so thankful to God. She went to church that night to give thanks to God, and it was a communion service, and the minister in her church said he would like to anoint her with oil as a sign of this healing that had taken place over the weekend. And he anointed her with oil, and as she wiped away the oil, she looked up and she could see the communion table in front of her. She went home that night and she said it was amazing because she had not seen her husband for 16 and a half years. She could not believe how white he had gone. God is a God who heals. One day we shall have a new perfect body. In this life we never reach perfection. But when God heals someone today like Jean, we get a glimpse of the future when we will receive the redemption of our bodies. Of course, no human being can ultimately avoid death. Our bodies are decaying. And at some point it might be right to prepare a person for death rather than to pray for healing. Thank God for the hospice movement. The hospice movement, you know, gives dignity to the terminally ill and is another outworking of Jesus' commission to take care of the sick. So we need to be sensitive to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. John Wimber used to say that. When we prayed for no one, no one was healed. Now we pray for lots of people. Not everyone's healed, but some are. And when we pray for someone, even if they're not healed, it's usually a blessing. Certainly it was a blessing for me. My athlete's foot wasn't healed at that moment, but I'm so glad they prayed for me. Some, of course, are given very special gifts of healing, gifts of healing. But that doesn't mean that we should leave the praying to them, because Jesus' commission is to all of us. Just as the commission is to all of us to tell the good news, although some have a particular gift of being evangelists, so it is with healing. So how in practice do we go about it? Of course, it's God who heals and not us. There's no technique involved. We pray with love and simplicity. The model of Jesus was compassion. That was his motive for praying for people. He loved them. And simplicity. Because it's not our prayer that heals people. It's the power of God, the name of Jesus. And we have found that words of knowledge can be very helpful. It's one of the ways in which God speaks. This is not the way that it has to take place, but it's one very practical model which we use here, and we're going to use here tonight. And that is that we pray. We've been praying earlier this evening. Those of people who are leading and helping have been praying that God would give them words of knowledge about people here tonight. Sometimes it comes through a picture, an image, maybe of a part of the body that God wants to heal. Sometimes it's a sympathy pain. That's to say, a pain that somebody feels in their body which they know is not theirs, but maybe God's speaking to them about something that he wants to do. Sometimes it's through just an impression, a word that is seen or heard in the ear. For example, some of them can be quite specific. On the last course, Philippa Pearson-Mile, I talked about Patrick with the kidney failure. His wife, Philippa, has this gift, a particular gift of receiving very specific words of knowledge. And because Patrick and Philippa were giving the talk on healing last term, she gave out some words of knowledge. And one of the words of knowledge she gave out, she said she believed that there was someone here, not somebody. She didn't know this naturally. She knew it through the Spirit of God speaking to her. She said she believed there was someone here who had a root canal problem. And then she was quite specific. She said, your name is John, and you're aged about 42, and you work with vibrant colors. You were a rebellious teenager, and she gave lots more details, like his father had died and various other details. Well, there's a guy called John Falzon who was here. He's actually 44. He's about 42. He works with vibrant colors. He's a photographer. He had been a rebellious teenager, and there'd been a lot of a sort of unsettled relationship with his father who had died. And he found it a great release to actually ask forgiveness for that. More than that, instantly, the root canal problem, which he'd had a root canal, and he was getting a lot of pain, and he was planning to go to the dentist to get it sorted out, but it was instantly healed, actually the moment she gave out that word of knowledge. But very often the words of knowledge are not as kind of specific as that. It can be quite general. Sometimes people get up here and just say, you know, something like right knee or left elbow. And people think, oh, what is that? You know, anybody can do that. I can't believe that's going to have any impact. About 4.5 years ago, I had a cartilage operation on my right knee. And a few months later, I was starting to get pain again. It was swelling up, and I was having problems with it. On the equivalent evening of that course, there was a word of knowledge for a right knee. And then someone else got up and had a word of knowledge about a right knee. And then another person got up and had a word of knowledge about a right knee. And then another person got up, and there were 4 words of knowledge about a right knee. I did not respond to any of them. Because, well, you know, it's rather embarrassing, isn't it? And it just seems rather insignificant. A knee, I mean, you know, why? And anyway, I'm sure there are lots of people who have worse knees than my knee. So I didn't respond to it. Then we went down into the small group, and what we do is what we'll do tonight. We say, does anybody respond to any of those words of knowledge? Could we pray for you? And one or two people responded, and we prayed for them. The leaders asked whether anybody else, and I didn't respond. I didn't say anything at all. I just kept quiet. I'm quite self-conscious, and I don't like being the center of attention, so I didn't say anything. And then the leader said, well, let's break up into small groups and pray. So there were just 3 of us. And one of the guests on the course, he looked at me and he said, did you respond to any of those words of knowledge? And I'm ashamed to say I was about to lie and say, no, I didn't. And then I thought, I can't lie. So I said, yes, I did actually. So, and I told him what it was. He said, well, could we pray for your knee? So I said, well, okay. And they prayed. And I've had no problem with it since then. We have a very simple pattern for prayer. We say, what would you like to pray for? Sometimes we may need to ask God if there's a root cause. There's a woman called Sylvia who's a member of our congregation. And I'm telling you this because I've had permission from these people to tell these stories. But she had lumbar backache. It was a form of arthritis interfering with her sleep and movement. And as she was being prayed for by a woman called Marion, Marion had the word forgiveness. And after a struggle, she realized there was somebody she needed to forgive, and she forgave that person. And she was able to drive her car all the way to Yorkshire and back that weekend without any pain. And it was almost totally healed. Then she was praying later with someone called Millie, and she just felt she ought to write the person a letter telling them that she forgave them. As she posted the letter, she was totally healed. How do we pray? There are various models in the New Testament. The usual is to pray in the name of Jesus, to ask the Holy Spirit to come. We normally lay hands on people. Sometimes we anoint with oil. Then we ask the question, how are you feeling? Some are healed, some are not. Some get better but are not totally healed. Jesus once prayed for a man who was blind, and he said, do you see anything? And the man said, I see people, but they look like trees walking around. And Jesus prayed again a second time, and this time his eyes were opened and his sight was restored and he could see everything. What next? After praying, it's important to reassure people of God's love for them, regardless of whether they're healed or not, to give them the liberty to come back, to pray again. We avoid putting burdens on people. Again, I love what Raniero Cantalamessa says. We're free and able to ask the Holy Spirit at any time to heal us. But if the Spirit does not do it, there's no reason to think that's because we have no faith, or that God does not love us, or that God is punishing us. So we don't put burdens on people. We go on praying, and we try to ensure people's lives are rooted in the healing community of the church, where long-term healing takes place. And it's important to persist in this area, not get discouraged if you don't see immediate dramatic results. The reason I go on praying is not so much that we've seen masses of people healed, but because Jesus commanded us to do it. And that's why I would go on doing it even if nobody was healed. There was a man called Lee Duckett, age 25, atheist. Never been to church in his life. Telephone engineer. We used to have Mercury telephones in the church. And Lee Duckett came to mend the telephones in the church. He walked into the reception area and he noticed the receptionist. Also 25 years of age and a very attractive young woman. So as he was mending the telephones, he was trying to think of a good chat-up line. His problem was this. Here was somebody who worked in the church, and Lee Duckett had never been in a church before in his life, so he didn't know what an appropriate chat-up line was for someone who worked in a church. But as he was working on the telephones, he thought he'd come up with a good one. So he went up to her and he said, "Excuse me, could you tell me a good Bible to buy?" And she said, "Certainly I could recommend a Bible for you, but," she said, "you might like to come on the Alpha course, which we run here." Well, he was willing to do anything. So he came on the course, and he said, as an engineer, he loved it. It kind of makes sense. It followed a logical progression. He came on the weekend, and during the weekend, he gave his life to Christ. He came to church for the first time in his life that Sunday night. There was a word of knowledge for a back problem. Lee Duckett went forward. He was prayed for. His back was miraculously, spontaneously healed by God. Afterwards, he wrote me a long letter. His entire life history. He talked about how he'd been into mediums, Ouija boards, magic, and then he described what happened to him that night. He says, "My life has completely changed. I now look at the world through different eyes. I feel love for everyone and an inner peace that I never imagined could exist. Now when I meet people, I want to tell them about Jesus. If only they knew Jesus like I am learning to know him." That was Lee Duckett, a Mercury telephone engineer. On the next course, a woman came up to me and she handed me an even longer letter than Lee Duckett's letter. This was the most depressing letter I've ever read. It says her father was an alcoholic, she became an alcoholic, there was sexual abuse, drugs, truancy, harder drugs, domestic violence. She went to see a therapist, that didn't work. Then a psychotherapist, that didn't work. So she went to a hypnopsychotherapist, that didn't work, and I was getting more and more depressed. And then I came across this sentence. And then I got a telephone call from a man called Lee Duckett, who is a Mercury telephone engineer. He had found what I'd been searching for all these years. "God has forgiven me because Jesus Christ removed all my sin when he suffered crucifixion and died for us all. The burden has gone from my shoulders, and I'm filled with great hope, joy, excitement, and love. And all I want to do is serve Christ in whatever form he chooses." Now, she was one of seven people Lee Duckett brought on the next course. At the end of the course, at the celebration supper, she introduced me to seven members of her family and friends who she had brought on the next course. 2 years ago, Lee Duckett got married. Not to the receptionist, but to the administrator on our Alpha course. All that went back to a moment when God acted supernaturally in Lee Duckett's life. God is a God who healed in the past and still heals today. May we pray. Father, we thank you so much that you are a God who heals. And Lord, we pray tonight that once again you will come by your Spirit among us and heal people here. In Jesus' name, amen.
God is a God who healed in the past and still heals today. Some pretty special stories there at the end of Nikki's message, huh? Now, dear one, oftentimes God uses vehicles like you and I to bring about that healing, that hope, that message of conviction, or those affirming words of exhortation to help those struggling or hurting or confused or seeking direction on their faith journey. So be that active agent grounded in God's Word, fortified by your personal alone time with God, so that He can strengthen and equip you for the day's need. If you want to know more about being used of God or having a relationship through the Lord Jesus Christ, you can call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. And there are some great folks that will answer this toll-free call and be a great listening ear to your questions about the Christian faith. Again, that's 1-888-NEED-HIM. Today's topic was, Does God Heal Today? And this and yesterday's broadcasts are archived at greatnewsradio.org, so you can listen again, copy and paste it into an email and send it on to a friend, or reference it day or night in the days, weeks, or months ahead. Before I close out and give my alpha spiel, which is part of the contractual agreement so I can air the alpha course in its entirety, I want to point out tomorrow co-host Pastor Jason Schiffo should be in the studio, and we'll talk a little about the 2020 challenge and how God is moving this radio ministry forward in the days ahead. But now I must say thank you for listening to this broadcast, which is a segment from an Alpha Talk and is not Alpha in its entirety. Alpha is a series of interactive sessions exploring the Christian faith, typically including food, a short talk and discussion in small groups where you can share your thoughts. Find an Alpha near you at alphausa.org. This broadcast, heard on Great News Radio, was produced by Alpha International, copyright Alpha International 2015, Alpha Talks 2002 to 2006. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.